Good morning. As we prepare our hearts for worship on this first Sunday of Lent, I invite you now to focus your attention on the cross of Christ. I invite all who are able to stand for our brief order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who is present, who gives life, who calls into existence the things that do not exist. Amen. If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand? Yet with you is forgiveness. And so we confess our sins before you and before one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned away from you, knowingly and unknowingly. We have wandered from your resurrection life. We have strayed from your love for all people. Turn us back to you, O God. Give us new hearts and right spirits, that we may find what is pleasing to you and dwell in your house forever. Amen. Receive good news. God turns to you in love. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, says our God. All your sin is forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the free and abounding gift of God's grace for you. Amen.
Thank you.
grace of God and the love of Jesus and the Holy Spirit be with you always. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our strength, the struggle between good and evil rages within and around us, and the devil and all the forces that defy you tempt us with empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from Genesis 2. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord.
Happy are those whose transgressions are forgiven, and whose sin is put away. Because of my groaning all day long. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, O faithful, we embrace you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them.
You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye.
Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding, who must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you.
Great are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord.
Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart.
Second reading is from Romans 5. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the effect of one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up the mountain by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourselves down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left Jesus, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. It's tempting to think that winning is everything, that those with the most toys are the real winners, that fame and fortune is the end goal. But sometimes we're reminded of a different reality, the reality that winning isn't everything, that those with the most toys aren't the real winners. And that ultimately fame and fortune isn't the end goal. Having said that, I have to admit that it was an exciting game on Friday night at the women's basketball game in Matthew Knight Arena. After the win, it was time for the presentation of the Pac-12 conference trophy. as part of the ceremony, Sabrina stood before an enthusiastic, cheering crowd. Many of you were there. You know what I'm talking about. She spoke of the primary reason for her decision to stay with the Ducks another year, with the hope of making it all the way to the Final Four and bringing home a national championship trophy to Oregon, and how winning the Pac-12 was just the first step to that lofty goal. But then she began to talk about a defining moment for her and for her teammates. In retrospect, she said perhaps this was the lesson that she was supposed to learn all along, one that she needed to learn, and that is why she had to stay. She went on to tell how hard they all worked. It's obvious by their performance that they're hard workers, dedicated players. And she told how they get pumped up before each game and how they're always ready to bring home a win. It was game day just a few weeks ago. The Ducks against the Beavers on Oregon State's home court. The morning the tragic news broke of the deaths of her friends Kobe and Gigi. Overcome with grief, suddenly for Sabrina, winning wasn't the most important thing. Basketball seemed far less important to her. The experience of having not only her teammates and her coaches support her, but that of their arch rivals in Corvallis helped her to realize how much more there is to life than winning trophies and breaking records and all of the accolades that go along with that. It was for her and her teammates, she said, the defining moment. That moment when they all realized the best of humanity comes when we shine light in the darkness. And in that moment of her darkness, she felt the love and support of all those people on the opposing team as they gathered center court and shared a prayer together before the game. I can't help but think, after hearing Sabrina, that she has come to know more fully who and whose she is. Jesus was able to resist the temptations he faced because Jesus had always known full well who and whose he is. Prior to his 40 days in the wilderness, at his baptism in the River Jordan, Jesus heard the voice from heaven declaring, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." That was God's declaration of the identity of Jesus, but it wasn't for Jesus' benefit. He already knew his identity and his mission. This declaration of God is for the benefit of those with ears to hear. It is for our benefit. And it serves to remind us of who and whose we are. Creatures of the Creator, beloved children of the Beloved. It's a reminder for us to live more fully and faithfully into our identity of letting our light shine before others so that they may see our good works and give glory to God. Temptations will always be there. It's tempting to lose hope. What with stock market prices falling like leaves from a tree, global scares of a coronavirus pandemic, daily tragedies making headline news, as well as those tragedies that don't make the headlines, but nevertheless rock our lives and the lives of those we hold dear. Like the fall to the crafty serpent in the garden, it's hard to resist temptation of wanting to be like God, to be God. It's the original sin. It's tempting to think that if only we had all knowledge and all power, then this world wouldn't be going to you-know-where in a handbasket. It's tempting to rely on our own wits rather than to put our faith, hope, and trust in God. And yet, as the hymn goes, if you but trust in God to guide you with gentle hand through all your ways, you'll find that God is there beside you when crosses come in trying days. Trust then in God's unchanging love, built on a rock that will not move. A recent daily devotion reminded me, we can take great comfort in knowing that God's ways never change, that God's love doesn't change, that God desires that all should live, and not just live, but live abundantly, fully. The sure and certain promise is that God's loving embrace is extended to you, to all of us, to all people, in all times and in all places. And so I implore you, during our Lenten journey, remember who and whose you are, and let your light shine so that others may see your good works and give glory to God. Amen.
Let us confess our faith. Wandering Aramaeans were our ancestors. They went down to Egypt and lived there as aliens. They were family. The family became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly, afflicting and enslaving us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our oppression. The Lord led us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. The Lord led us to a new land, flowing with milk and honey. The Lord leads us still, bringing us to this place, to this moment. In gratitude for our salvation, we bring the first and best of all God has given us. We look and strive for the day when all the families of the earth will be blessed. You may be seated. Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of the wilderness, we pray for the church. Lead us in showing grace and hospitality to all who struggle with doubt or shame. Make your church holy ground where all people can be seen and loved for the persons you have created them to be. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for creation. Show your glory in deserts and on mountaintops. Nourish gardens and orchards and bless those who tend them. Forgive us for our desire to dominate creation instead of serving as faithful stewards and caretakers. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for the nations. Liberate leaders and governments from the temptation to exercise unjust dominion over those whom they are called to lead and serve. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for those who long for healing of mind, body, and spirit. As we gather for the service of healing tomorrow evening, be with all who are affected by domestic violence, trauma, or abuse of any kind. Help us to turn toward one another. Hear us, O God.
We pray for those in need. Sustain all who are hungry or weary, those who are lonely or anxious, those facing difficult decisions, and those facing recent diagnosis or recovering from surgery. Today we remember and lift up before you Karen Burke, Marcia Henderson, Alona Johnson, Joy Lathrop, Marta and Zach Sanders, Ed Sullivan, and Paul Yoder. For whom else do the people pray? For all these we've named aloud, and for those who suffer in silence, in secret, or in shame, we pray, hear us, O God. We praise you for bringing us through the desert into the promised land of your kingdom. We give thanks for the saints who have guided us in times of trial and times of joy. Bring your healing presence to all who grieve, and use us to comfort those in need. Hear us, O God. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. But before you share the peace, I was reminded that with cold and flu season and fear of coronavirus and passing germs, that it might be best if we refrain from handshaking. And so I'm going to encourage you to share the peace with one another in just a verbal way and appropriately as we go ahead and share God's peace now with one another. It seems to be a bit more lively when we don't shake hands. I don't know what that's about. And my little getting choked up there was more allergy related, but it's an important message, because a couple people made that comment to me over the past week, and then I was reading an article that even Pope Francis was reminding our brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church maybe that they want to refrain from that, the veneration of the cross, kissing the cross, or shaking one another's hands. So if Pope Francis says it, I'm all for it. He's a great example and leader of the church. Today's adult class in the gathering room following the service, it's listed in the bulletin that I'll be teaching that. It's not going to be me. It's going to be Sister Claire. And she's going to offer a two-week class on resisting anti-Semitism, particularly as it pertains to the Gospel of John and how that's been interpreted down through the centuries. So she'll be walking us through an exercise. Encourage you to attend that class. I'm sure it will be excellent. So for this week and next week, Sister Claire in the gathering room. Today is also the concert with featuring Richard Elliott. And encourage you to come to that at 4 o'clock. There will be a reception in the parish hall following, so make your plans accordingly. The final game of the Ducks should be over by then. And then they're off to that tournament. God bless them. They've added a lot of excitement into the lives of a lot of people, including myself. Our Lenten services also continue this week. On Tuesdays, we have the meal together, children's choir, music with the kids, a class for youth and adults, and then we conclude with worship here in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. with holding evening prayer. And then on Wednesday, we have a service of the word in the chapel, and then following the service, a soup luncheon. And so I encourage you to make one of those two services a discipline during Lent. And finally, the meditation service tomorrow, the healing service, is at 7 p.m. in the chapel. Encourage you and those you know who would benefit from that kind of a service to come and reflect and meditate on the ways in which there are so many in our world who are suffering, and our healing comes from God, who promises to be with us through it all. With those announcements, we'll now continue with the morning offering, and I invite the ushers to come forward.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy and generous host, you set a table where we feast as friends. Prepare us to witness your goodness with every gift you have given us to share, that all people may know your peace. Through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Indeed, holy, almighty, and merciful God, you are most holy, and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. Having come into the world, he fulfilled for us your holy will and accomplished our salvation. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and his promise to come again, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. And we implore you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, that we and all who share in the body and blood of your Son may be filled with heavenly peace and joy, and receiving the forgiveness of sin, may be sanctified in soul and body, and have our portion with all your saints. Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread.
These are the gifts of God given freely to us, the people of God. I invite you to be seated, and as soon as the communion servers are ready, we'll invite you to come forward to receive the bread in the form of a wafer and then dip it into the cup. Please stand as you're able. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We thank you, living God, for the body and blood of your Son, which sustains us in the wilderness and the garden alike. As Christ has loved us in this feast, so send us to love Christ in our neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Today is the day we send our Eucharistic ministers out to share with our homebound members the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God for these men and women who serve as our Eucharistic ministers. And as we send them out, we ask God to guide them in their serving so that our brothers and sisters in Christ who receive the gift of Holy Communion may also be strengthened for their journey and kept in God's grace. Would you pray with me? God of all life and all good, bless these, your servants, and those whom they serve. Make your presence known in your Holy Supper, so that all who share in this meal may be fed and nourished with the bread of life and drink from the cup of salvation. This we pray through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. And now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord grant you peace. Amen. And our closing hymn, please stand.
Marked with the cross of Christ, go forth to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good job, guys.